the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. God created us for life. God created us for life, to live with Him, not for death. We proclaim at every funeral that God did not mean for us to die. The Word of God in Romans chapter 6 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Not of anyone's particular sins, but indeed the sin of Adam, the fall of all of mankind, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is our mortality, that God never intended to make of this world a cosmic cemetery, as my one professor used to say. And we read in the Word of God again from 1 Corinthians 15, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so even in Christ shall all be made alive." When we think of the cross, we certainly immediately think of the forgiveness of our sins upon the cross, that Christ takes upon himself the sin of the world. But he also took on two other enemies. Besides sin, he took on the result of that sin, which is death, and indeed, he defeated the devil. Our problem as a result of sin was that we die. So God took our humanity upon himself, as we are beginning to celebrate in this holy season of the incarnation. God took upon himself our life and our condition of our life, which included death. And so he entered into death and made death no longer a dead end, no longer an entrance into Sheol, but indeed a Passover from life to life, a Pascha, a transition, a potential to restore paradise. Adam lost paradise. Christ came to give us back paradise. And as we prayed for James, that he indeed would enter into that paradise for which God intended him and intended for all of us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that he is the door to that paradise. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." We certainly want to believe, as we stand here at this time, that James has found that door, the door of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that Mr. Mondragon, as we usually called him, Mr. Mondragon, was certainly someone who had his own ideas and his own opinions and his own stand on things, and was not easily convinced in one conversation to change that stand on a given thing. But it is remarkable, from where we see it, that late in life he made a decision to give himself once again to Jesus Christ, and through the entrance into the Orthodox Church, to make that commitment, which certainly Olga contributed to that persuading of him, which I'm sure did not take place in one conversation either. But indeed, persistence did pay off, that God gave him this grace late in life, that he accepted, even sometimes against his will. Sometimes we thought he wouldn't stay the course, but indeed he did so. In our last conversation, it was constantly I love the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Mother and praise Jesus. And he's just going on and on about giving thanks to God for all things. And indeed, as daughter Diane gave me yesterday, he has himself, he left in his 80th birthday 10 years ago or so, or almost exactly 10 years ago, he left a life legacy to his family, some words. So we're going to let his words as well speak to us, and perhaps even speak to him once more. And he said, just a couple of excerpts from that. He said, life may be long for some and not so long for others. And by the way, James had a brother who lived to be 100. He said, life may be long for some and not so long for others, but he says, I believe that the most important thing in life is to believe, trust, and walk with the Spirit of God. Essentially, this means to have only one master, and that is God. The balance of things, such as health, attitude, prosperity, good habits, good character, and a host of other desirable characteristics will follow after you get to know, follow, and obey the commandments of God. The precepts, ordinances, covenants, parables, example, in a nutshell, to read and follow the Bible, that is thy word. He continues elsewhere, the entire life is a learning process. Also, how to work and get along with others is important. However, most important is to learn the word, capital W, and to follow thy word, God's word. Once the person knows that last sentence, he said, other things will come through readily, including good humor, good attitude, good disposition, good and pleasant personality, etc. And in his final paragraph, he says, as far as advice to others, I should reiterate that the best way is to read and follow the Christian Bible and to live by it day in and day out, to thank God for every moment of your life as you go along and establish a relationship with God that will last for eternity. A relationship with God that will last for eternity. Indeed, brothers and sisters, that is our prayer for Mr. Mondragon today. In Romans 8, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. Again in Romans 14, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Finally, from the words of our Holy Father, John of Kronstadt, great Russian saint who lived just before the revolution, he speaks of our contentment with life. How do we find contentment? And we believe that James found contentment in his latter days, in his latter years. And St. John says, when Christ is in our heart, we are contented with everything. What has been discomfort to us becomes the greatest comfort. What was bitter to us becomes sweet. Poverty becomes our wealth. Our hunger is satisfied, and our sorrow turns into joy. But when Christ is not in the heart, then the man is not contented with anything. He does not find happiness in anything, neither in health, nor in comfort, nor in ranks, nor honors, nor in amusements, nor in rich palaces, nor in a luxuriously served table, covered with all kinds of food and drinks, not in rich clothing, in nothing. St. John says, ah, how necessary for the man, for the human being, is Christ, the life giver and the savior of our souls. Indeed, Mr. Mondragon's final days were not entirely comfortable. None of us likes to become sick and to be ill. None of us likes to deal with such pain and such a realization of one's finality. But he hung on to Christ. He hung on to that ultimate truth, that ultimate hope. And indeed, we commend him to the truth and hope of Christ today. So let's ask that our Lord Jesus Christ would bless our brother, his servant James, with this relationship that, as he says, that started in this life that will last into eternity. May he bless and comfort Olga and the children and the family. May our Lord Jesus Christ have mercy upon us all and save us. Amen.